I don't know if I answered your question, but spirit of oneness has returned by showing us the broader expanse of the implications of the God of oneness, that he's created a unified universe. There are no disharmonies. It's our lack of wisdom that sees the disharmonies. And there's only one race, the human race. We're all part of it. We are God's children. And until we see things through that lens, we will continue to make disastrous mistakes collectively.
So I'd like to follow up with another question, which is related to the concept of being reborn in the Christian faith and then the attainment of salvation. So why is it that certain Christians would believe that as long as they recognize Christ, then they've reached the point of salvation, and maybe even go as far as saying that their actions don't really matter in this world?
That is a very good and profound question, because it's one of the dilemmas of our time. What Christ taught and what we've come to interpret what he taught is that if we believe Jesus is the Messiah and he died on the cross for our sins, we're saved. And if we don't happen to believe in that, we're going to hell, which means that the entire Western world pretty much believes that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and that we get to go to heaven, and the rest of the world is in bad shape, to say the least. Some believe they're all going to fry in a literal hell. But that's not really the message of Jesus Christ. I would suggest to you, if we open our hearts, we can see the reality. Christ was trying to teach us not absolute rights and wrongs, but actually that we have to prioritize a lot. He was not against the law. He was saying, but that's not the end of it. You have to put God's will. You have to put the truth of life, that we are spiritual beings and that we can survive death, and that we have to put the qualities of the heart, justice, mercy, compassion, that's what the Sermon on the Mount is about, into our hearts and put it first in our life. Priority, not just one more aspect of everyday life, but as first, our primary devotion to God is to allow the Holy Spirit to descend into our heart and reorient our thinking to where the qualities of the Spirit are primary. As Paul said, if I give my body to be burned, if I do all the, you know, do all the right things, but I have no love, it's like tinkling cymbal and sounding brass. It's of no value. In the end, we turn to God with all our heart and we surrender our center of our being to the Spirit and power of love. When we don't do that, we are not really living. That's what Christ was trying to teach us, how to really live. Now, he's offering it as an opportunity for us to grow. This is true, I don't care where you're at on the planet, when you put God's will and God's love first in your life and you surrender to that, you have become reborn. And then as he says, as Paul says later, those that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Those that are of the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. I can tell you this, you can say I believe in Jesus died on the cross as much as you want, but if you haven't let the love of God be born in your being and you are centered in him, you are allowing yourself to be veiled by the veils that people have put up most of the time by the clergy. Now, in my own personal life, I remember thinking I could go out on Friday night and party all night and do all the things I knew God was against. And Sunday morning, I would go to church and ask God to forgive me, and because Jesus died on the cross, my sins would be removed, and then I'd plan on how to do the same thing next Friday. I was getting a free pass. And then I laughed at my Catholic friend because that poor sap, in my understanding at the time, had to go to a priest to get forgiveness. I could go direct to God. I figured I was on the higher ground. What a fool. But deep down, I knew better. God's no fool. Christ came to show us the door to heaven, and we tried to go around. It's kind of like we built our own Tower of Babel, a shortcut to God, so we could just continue on doing what we've been doing. Who are we kidding? I came to the realization, this is not the Christianity that Christ brought. He brought the one of true, single-minded surrender. Repent of the world and be reborn in the Spirit, And then the Spirit will guide you into the realm of divine unity, where you see the beauty of God's creation and you see the beauty of love as it flows throughout the world. A new perception of salvation. Salvation from my own egocentric world of me, 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 to become reborn into God's will and God's purpose for my life. That's true salvation. And I suggest to you, we know it deep in our hearts. We don't need someone to persuade us or to convince us. We already know the truth. It's just hard to surrender that ego to that reality. Now as to the subject of Christ dying on the cross. Believe me, many people have died painful deaths for the cause of God. What made it unique is we tried to believe that God had a baby and that made it special if he died on the cross. I suggest to you, God loves it, loves all of us, and it pains God when anybody sacrifices their life for truth. But when a manifestation of God is sacrificed either through 40 years of suffering or dying on a cross, it releases a power in us. It awakens us to the seriousness of his message. And therefore, yes, we believe that Christ died on the cross, or Jesus died on the cross. But as we understand, Christ being the I Am was never crucified. But his agent was crucified, the vessel. But the truth of God never dies. And it can be reborn in us. Yes, we appreciate it. Releases an energy into the universe when one of these manifestations suffer. But it does not mean that just believing that he suffered and died, that this means that we can wash away our responsibility to answer the call of the Holy Spirit to serve him with all our heart, mind, and soul.